Hey there, welcome to Marketing in the Raw. That's the podcast, and I'm the host, Adam Helway. It's my goal to expand how you define the practice of marketing and your vision of where it's headed, especially in a digitally connected world. I'm excited today to talk to Billy Flick. He's a senior account director at Pinnacle, where he's been helping businesses create memorable brand experiences in the physical world. From trade shows to creative product launches and beyond, he develops strategies that transform into experiential marketing spaces for brands like Capcom, Microsoft, and Verizon. Today we'll talk about how he's taken this know-how into the virtual world, bringing engaging offline events online. In this interview, you'll learn some cool new ways that brands can break out of the boundaries of physical events by crafting compelling virtual event experiences for their customers. Ready to go? Let's talk with Billy. Billy, it's good to see you, man. I'm so happy that you were able to take the time to meet with me. How are you doing on this fine day?
I'm doing great. It's a new year, a new me, and hopefully this one's going to be better than the last, right?
Yeah, a new you compared to 2 months ago when I talked to you last, huh? A whole new you.
Things in the technology world progress very quickly.
That's true. Well, so when we first met a while back ago, and we're talking a number of years ago, actually, we were talking about this last time we were connecting, how long ago it was. You were working with a company in the Silicon Valley area that was creating business or brand experiences for companies for like events such as trade shows, and I'm sure other types of events that they were participating in. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started there?
So that was probably at least like 8 years ago, I'd have to say. Originally, how I got into the industry is I was in action sports. So I was working for an action sports company in Silicon Valley, or not Silicon Valley, Scotts Valley, sorry, which was called Sessions. And so they were snowboarding, skateboarding apparel. And so I started out managing the social media, as social media was really starting to pick up and come online. I was doing promotions for them. And then I was traveling around managing the athletes. So we were setting up tents and doing skateboarding events, snowboarding events, things like that, do tour. And so that kind of really kicked me off into the live events marketing space. From there, I transitioned into a small company in Morgan Hill, California, called Cyclonics. So again, we focus primarily on the live event space, trade shows, experiential marketing, those type of things. And really, that's kind of where I started tapping into the digital side, which we'll talk about later. But long story short, Cyclonics got acquired by a company called Pinnacle Exhibits. And now I've been there for seven, almost 8 years as a senior account director. And the rest is history, right?
Well, and you obviously have a passion for it because you've stuck around. We talked about how many years ago that was, and you stuck around through the transition over into Pinnacle. In what we're about to talk about here in just a second, what's the biggest like lesson that you've learned over the years in those experiences that sort of have got you prepared for this next round that we're going to talk about?
Well, ultimately, I always had a kind of passion and passion for technology. So, and that was kind of reflected in my client base that I was able to build up over the years. So, you know, working with Samsung's, I worked with some lifestyle brands like Lifeproof and Nike. So they're kind of like more on the bleeding edge of the marketing side. And then I've worked in gaming with some crypto and token type companies. Also have a long lasting relationship with the guys over at Epic Games and Unreal Engine. So I've done a lot of events, watched them grow, and really kind of learned a lot about the direction of the world through going and doing those events, right? So working at Money 2020 and going to these game developers conferences and doing all those things, it was just an absolute justification that the world was going digital, like in a major way. And I got to live like and kind of breed the progression of that for the last 7 or 8 years. And so that's really what took me to the next level in what we're going to talk about here in the digital space.
You talked about sort of the byproduct of being able to be aware of seeing the direction that the industry and probably folks just experiences in general were going because of technology. But where does that initial spark for technology, that passion for technology, come from, you think?
You know, I'm not so sure. I just always wanted to stay on the bleeding edge of things. And that kind of, I guess, sparks from wanting to make the best experiential experiences for my clients. And so we're always looking for, okay, how do we integrate this app, or how do we, you know, create some gimmicky piece of technology that's going to enable someone to get a lead capture, something as simple as that, right? And so we're constantly creating something out of nothing. And all of this is just slowly coming to a head.
It sounds like what you like to do is to connect the dots where, you know, technology tends to be in a few different camps. It's something that enables, it's like a tool, right? It's a screwdriver at some point was technology. It's old hat now, but when there's a new tool, it allows you to create in a new way. But then also technology has been an increasing interface for people to engage and interact with things. And that's what you guys were doing, was creating experiences. So whether that be something that somebody can experience, you know, sensorially with something that's going on at the booth, or through their mobile app or something like that, it is probably something where you just always saw that possibility and potential to create a new and fresh experience. Because who wants to just continuously go to, I don't know, a booth or something that's kind of restricted to the physical structure of things, when you can take advantage of all those other elements that technology sort of enables you to do? That's what it sounds like you were doing.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately at Pinnacle too, it's, we all saw this coming, and obviously we couldn't have predicted the past events that just took us through 2020, but ultimately, we knew that there had to be some type of convergence at some point of technology and the physical experiential world, because there's logistical issues that live within the physical space, right? I mean, you know, 200,000 people go to consumer electronics. Well, that city in Las Vegas is at capacity with that. Whereas in the digital environment, you're unlimited, right? We could have global outreach. We can put stuff out in different languages and connect and get customers for our clients across the globe. So it doesn't matter anymore. And that's a big key factor in why we would want to go digital.
So let's dig into that a little bit. Yeah. I mean, you guys have been, you've been working on this now, some exciting things in the virtual event space. Kind of the next evolution of events. You were nice enough to share with me a bit about it when we talked not long ago. So besides the current challenges that we were already mentioning about in-person events caused by COVID, like, why now? What makes what you're working on unique? Why is now the right time to be putting this together?
Well, let me tell you, I mean, as we've gone through this, this is kind of pre-COVID. Things were already starting to transition. And I think one of the things that I started to see was in the esports gaming, and this is really sparked from esports and kind of live music events, where, you know, you've got some insane metrics of how many people are attending, you know, live music events like Coachella digitally. So, and this is all 2D digital, right? This is the YouTube, this is the gaming, esports gaming, all that stuff. So, like, for example, Coachella had 9 million live stream attendees the first year that they pushed out a live stream. I think it was last year or the year before that. Whereas the metric around live attended concerts per year is like 32 million people. So you could just see how crazy that type of metric is. Broadcasts like the Emmy or the Grammys. 15 million concurrent viewers, right? So the amount of viewership, the amount of people that are connecting to this, to these digital environments, is far, far superior to what you can get in the physical space. Things like Fortnite World Cup, for example, 2 million live viewers. It's just insane. And so, you know, what we're now building is the ecosystem around how we can kind of grab on to those type of numbers where you've got like 30% market growth compounding year over year, and how many people are going to engage with live streams and digital type environments. And what we're going to do is enable the monetization of those type of numbers, right?
Well, you've talked about things in terms of like viewers and live streams. And I think that for listeners, that it oversimplify what it is that you guys are actually working on. And you said it for just a second in regards to digital environment. Can you like describe a little bit more about what an environment or experience like this looks like? Because it is much more than just simply being able to like tap into somebody doing video production from far away and live streaming that.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we want to do now is we want to take those pre-existing two-dimensional broadcast style environments, and we want to fully immerse those in this, what I like to call the candy wrapper, right? So the candy wrapper is this fully immersive digital environment that's completely gamified and deployable on all platforms. So if you want to go VR, if you want to go mobile, PC, console even, right? We can deploy in all those places. Not only that, we're building the management system that enables the sponsors to come in and be able to drive their brand into these spaces. So ultimately, what I've got now is I've got my team of creatives that's doing that in the digital world in regards to design. And then I've got another team, which is one of the companies that I've invested in, BlueLev, which is building the platform and the ecosystem to be able to manage all of those users, manage all of those sponsors, and manage the content that gets driven in into those spaces, so that we can create these environments. They can last for a long time, and we can resell that real estate inside of those spaces.
And besides being able to experience them from everywhere, what are some of the unique advantages or opportunities that you could highlight that are different about this type of experience, again, versus just something like live streaming or even in-person events?
So I think there's a combination of having the 3D environments, the engaging in-stream and live stream opportunities paired with frictionless commerce. And so basically what I'm looking at us, or what we're calling it, is like the newest wave in experiential shopping and web advertising, right? So those are some of the main components. We also have built this platform so that we can convert sales instantly. So in-stream monetization is a huge component of what we're doing, so that now, like when you go onto YouTube and you have to go through and click links to get to somebody's page to where you can make some type of a commerce opportunity happen, buy a t-shirt, whatever. It's about 10 clicks. Whereas if you come into one of our environments and you're running our direct response advertising platform in there, they can pop something into your screen live and boom, you can buy it right there on the spot. One click buy. All right. So we're kind of, it's such a blend of so many different things. I mean, it's live broadcast, it's immersive 3D environments, it's gamification, it's Amazon style one click pay. But the thing that's really interesting about what we're doing is we're letting all that data flow through the DRA platform. And what we're able to do is we're able to contextualize these experiences directly to the consumer. And that's, I think, a huge piece that.
So each kind of each consumer could have somewhat of a unique experience
that's,
in there.
That's absolutely right. Not only unique from the navigation and kind of playing around in the 3D environment, but unique in the sense of what type of commerce opportunities get delivered to them as well, why they're in there. So it'd be targeted, but not targeted like Google Ads, right? Google Ads is kind of like based off your cookies and things like that and your cache. But this would be targeted based on the environment that you're in. So if you're in a, I don't want to say any names here, but if you're in a macro space, right? And then you walk into a store, which is more of like a micro environment, you would be able to receive contextual advertisements and things like that around that micro store while you're in that sponsored space.
It totally makes sense. And the thing that you reminded me that I thought was so cool was also the ability in a way for folks, because it's one thing to have all that available. It's in those sorts of environments to say, yeah, we have this ability to sell to folks and we have this ability to advertise to folks is one thing, but getting folks' attention there so that you can capture that attention in some way with that experience, right? Like you've got to make an event attractive for somebody to even go in the first place before you have all your sponsors trying to market to them and doing whatever they're doing. Similar to Google's got to do a good job and make their search a utility people want to use on frequently and often so that they can actually monetize their search ads over there. You were sharing with me a little bit about what makes the experience sticky. And one of the things that I remember that was really cool, if I could recall correctly, was how, you know, you get an opportunity to take the sort of DLC type of kind of experience, the, you know, downloadable content, and folks can do things like update their HUD or the way that they're experiencing things with, could be colors or a motif that they want or whatever that feels unique to them. But additionally to that, I think there's an element where sort of blockchain and some elements around the technology could create a digital marketplace, or there's digital items is not exactly the right word, but there's digital content and items that folks can obtain in these experiences that would be unique to being in those experiences, but would be something that we've seen frequently touted when it comes to, you know, on social from time to time, but also definitely in video games, where folks are able to get unique items or unique, you know, clothing or whatever the case may be. Can you expand upon that a little bit?
Yeah. So basically that's another investment of mine is a company called Gear, gear.it. If anyone wants to go check it out, if you're a game developer or publisher, or a brand, in fact. So the whole idea around that was to create a digital authentic goods marketplace. So like goods that you would purchase at a store. So let's just say there's kind of this hype movement that's been going on around shoes for the last 10 years or more, right? Probably more. But you want to go and you want to get a pair of Yeezys, right? And you have to go wait in line. You have to get it in the raffle. You have to pick up a ticket and you may not win. But if you win, then you have the opportunity to go and buy something. It's going to cost you $220 for these shoes, right? That's retail value. But because of the scarcity of those items, they have high resale value. And so there's no reason, I mean, in our minds, why that shouldn't be the same in the video game marketplace, right? And this can apply to video games. This could also apply easily into the digital event space, right? There's some type of unique giveaway that is a one-off, right? So it's digitally authentic. And so at Gear, what we've done is we've created a smart contract platform that enables brands, i.e. Nike, and a publisher. So let's just say EA, for example, to kind of tie the knot. One guy says, hey, I want my brand in games. The other guy says, yeah, I want your brand in my game, in my new game, right? So they can create a connection, kind of a licensing agreement, right there with a smart contract, blockchain smart contract, and start creating these non-fungible items or unique goods that can then be resold and have resale value or be have scarcity attack tactics applied to them, right? It makes that same type of resale marketplace relevant in the video game world, or in the digital events world.
Well, it makes those things sought after and those experiences, you know, sticky for one. It integrates so well with the experiences themselves. And like, you're being modest in the sense that, you know, this isn't a hypothesis. We've seen people actually do this already in virtual spaces quite often. So it's taken a phenomenon that's already working and quite successful. I think some folks who aren't gamers or whatever may be surprised at just how much money is put into a free game like Fortnite or other gamified things. You know, how many apps have you downloaded on your phone where just for a little bit more money you can get some virtual candy that you could use in your game a little bit differently or something like that. That same phenomenon can be applied here, right?
Yeah. And it's super cool because now, as we start to create this metaverse of events, and it's really headed towards, I don't know if you've seen Ready Player One, but it's really headed down that route where you kind of have this exploratory world of everything that you can go and you can buy clothes and buy the holy hand grenades and all this stuff, right? And then you can take them into the game with you and you could play and use those items. It's really, that's what is happening right now. And so, you know, I've seen that coming down the road, and you know, with the for playing to currency standardized and, you know, try to make some sound investments into companies that I thought would be highly progressive, and funnily enough, now they're all coming to a head, and we're all partnering together to get this stuff done.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool. So which industries do you think will be the first to you know, what type of industries or brands do you think will be the first to sort of gravitate to these sorts of things? Who's going to be the early adopters? Just because there's an initial good fit.
I think it's really hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of people jumping into the digital event side of things more so as a trade show booth or as a selling tool. But that's kind of like, that's the quick fix for them to get their events program back up and running. And so we've seen a lot of that coming, right? So we've had a huge pipeline of working with those type of partners to get their seat. I think that the hype brands, so do you know Complex Con? Are you familiar with Complex Con?
I know Complex, and I've not looked into the event, but I understand who Complex is, and I would assume it's obviously probably a big conference or convention for the Complex,
right?
Stuff.
So like
the hype beasts and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I think that those type of brands, once they see the potential with what we're doing, those are going to be the guys that are going to jump on. Really, we can create this huge ecosystem of interactive brand identity, and then the commerce that goes with it, and the gamification that enables people to go and have fun and surround themselves and immerse themselves in a new type of world, right? So you'll probably see the Nikes, the Adidas, the Pumas of the world start to jump in on this in the next year or so, I would say. I know that we're already working with some luxury brands on the digital authentic goods side of things. So as these things start to converge, you'll probably see some of those guys jump in too. It really depends on the event too, who's hosting the event. But I'm sure you're going to start to see some major players dump some money into this, especially with the amount of outreach that you're going to be able to get digitally.
Do you,
Go ahead. I was going to say, probably one of the things that you'll probably start to see and where those brands might arise in the digital festival space, I think. So, you know, a digital Astroworld or the digital Coachellas or Lollapalooza or something, somebody's going to take one of those digital and then integrate these components in. So it's like, now I went to Digital Lollapalooza and I got my shirt, right? My authentic Lollapalooza shirt. And that's going to have resale value in its own right, because it's from the digital tour. Plus I got the digital authentic good to go with it, right? So now eventually I'm going to be able to apply that to one of my characters in Fortnite, which will be sweet to see when that all that happens.
You do cross-platform, or not platform per se, but at least cross application kind of stuff. That would be interesting.
Totally. Well, yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, that's where I see things going for sure.
So we talked a lot about things. I think somebody who is working at a B2B brand is sitting there going, okay, that sounds great for some of the brands that we talked about, which are, you know, mainly on the consumer side. Is there a fit for this for business to business folks out there who may wonder, so how does this take form for them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So on the B2B side, that's where we've had our most traction so far. So for example, we just launched Magna at CES. It was a really cool project. I think if you search Magna CES, you'd probably be able to find it. And so what it is a 3D experience where you get to go and you get to explore, you get to see the cars, just as if you were on trade show floor, to look at all the different features. You can do ride-alongs, check out the HUD, like all these different things that you could do on a trade show floor, we're now doing digitally. So that's a perfect type of B2B play, right? Where you can all the different OE manufacturers, see the things that are being integrated in these cars, get all the details about it, safety, all the stuff, right? So that's pretty cool. And that's some, I would recommend everyone go and check that one out.
How did they find that again?
Magna-virtual.com.
Sounds good. So that way people can check out.
Magna-virtual.
And you worked with them, with them to do that?
Yeah, so I didn't personally work on this one, but this is one of our new releases at Pinnacle.
That's awesome. And so, I mean, we're talking about, I think I want to also make the differentiation between, you know, if you want to go to a CES, and CES used to be this event that had a particular format and you were able to sort of plug yourself in to participate in their event, there's a partnership going on between the event host and, you know, or organizer and in the brand at the event. In this particular case, the brand themselves, you know, pending for whatever reason, there may be some restrictions or something. I don't think that that's the case. You're really capable of launching this without worrying about any restrictions, whether it's, you know, physical space at the event itself, or you know, what you can travel with to someplace across the country or the globe. In this particular case, like, I guess what I'm getting at here is that you've obviously shared at least one example, if not a couple, where folks have already started to use this, independent of having any event that they need to be associated with, any, you know, trade show or anything like that. So brands can start digging into this now if it's something that they're thinking about implementing in the near future.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, to me, well, actually, this is a real fact that by doing it this way, you're reducing travel and logistics up to 75%, right? So now you've got that outreach. It's just huge. And also, you know, with the green initiatives that are going on in the world today, it's a big and key factor into helping those carbon emissions come down, and still getting the ability to watch and purchase, right?
5 years from now, what do you think that event marketing and events, the event experience themselves will look like?
I think that you'll have a kind of a combination of the two. You'll have some live events, and you'll have this large digital presence around it. I think that people will be able to spend their money a little bit differently and a little bit more, I would say actually in a cooler way, where they don't have to just go big with this humongous booth, right? They can create more intricate, bespoke, in-person events where maybe it's invite only or something like that, where then they can have the digital broadcast and experiential world that complements what's going on. So almost the getting to go to the event itself becomes kind of a luxury or a high ticket item or something that's really exclusive, right? Which is kind of cool too, because now you can bring in celebrities, you can spend your money on bringing in all kinds of different entertainment, or you could bring it in, or you could, you know, spend your money on getting a concert built out for your digital environment that you would have never otherwise done. So I don't know, now it's like you could be this brand and you would have never had access to Taylor Swift, but you can get her to do a 2-song set and pump that into your digital event, right? Which is kind of
so there may
cool.
Be some elements that are almost like tracks in a way where you have a real life event, but because of the asynchronous opportunity, because things don't all have to be done live at a digital event. They're not all done live at a digital event, but there's certainly that opportunity to do something like that. And so being able to even pre-produce chunks of content, especially ones that may be more expensive, especially when it comes to producing them live, you could end up having somebody even produce on their own and like you said, sort of pump into the event or insert it where appropriate.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really changes the way that that influencers get to interact with brands as well. I think there's a huge play for them to start to drive more revenue towards themselves by making a business out of their brand, you know, on their own instead of having to have agents and things like that get involved, because anyone could basically pop up a live stream nowadays. I mean, how else are they going to do it? How else are they going to, you know, they're not doing live tours and things like that. So it's like, hey, you know, any of these automotive brands at CES, plug me into your live stream on your digital event and pay me $10,000 and we're good. You know what I mean?
And you alluded to this a little bit. So you think that essentially as things start to get to whatever the next version of normal is for in-person events, when they start to hit their stride again, we're probably at a bare minimum going to start seeing virtual events be in the near future. Because I think that events will start hitting their stride. My personal opinion is probably late next year. Maybe we'll start to see it kind of ease back in a little bit, but your feelings, I don't know if you agree to do or disagree with that, but when they do that, you know, it's not like we'll have 5 or 6 years in on virtual events and this will become necessarily exactly the norm just yet, and it'll reach its maturity and peak at that time. We're going to still see the technology, as you talked about at the very beginning of you know, sharing your experience, the technology is going to continue to get better, so on and so forth, but the idea for brands that virtual events are an option, and that doesn't just mean getting on Zoom or you know, some sort of virtual meeting type of thing, or just looking, watching video, but something with the level of sophistication that you're talking about. And then in addition to that, you have to train to some extent, right? People have to get used to the experience of attending these sorts of events. We won't have enough years before physical events come back online for all of that to just be completely transformed to its top level of maturity. But we certainly will have some time behind us. You think that even, like, say again, around that end of 2022, actually, or so, when I'm assuming that the events will get back in gear, that we'll start to see many more folks relying on these virtual events at the moment.
Yeah, I'm an optimist, so I'd say that there's, and I kind of know what we're looking at the moment, so I'd say that there's probably some, it's going to be faster than you can imagine, where you're going to be able to small their own events. And this is, you know, Johnny Rock Band off the street, you know, to some of your major artists, right? Just being able to blast out on social media and say, hey, come on in. We're gonna host this event on a Friday night, and we're gonna sell sponsorships, and we're going to sell merch and all kinds of stuff. It's going to be easier and more accessible by the end of 2022 than you could imagine, I'd say. And we can do it with the platforms that exist right now. But I think with that said, this is also going to bring a rise to some really nice partnerships with some of the game engine companies as we start to progress. You know, the Unreal Engines of the world, they're going to want to be a part of this. This is a big piece of what they do, right? Is 3D. So if they can start to jump on board and help us to optimize those platforms and optimize scalability, get more high fidelity, because I mean, this is going to tell Ready Player One, here you are, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think the thing that I'm hearing under all that as well is, it's one thing when virtual events are being seen as a necessity, as a replacement to physical events because of whatever the circumstances may be, but beyond that, the truth of the matter is, it's a big opportunity, right? Somebody wants to make more money. Somebody wants to reach more people. Somebody wants to create something that's more rich or bespoke, like you were saying. You're just not going to be able to do it without some of those things are impossible with in-person events in their as we know them. And some of those things would just be cost prohibitive if they were done in in-person events. So the opportunity to do all those things is just too big to pass up. And I think, as you even said at the very beginning of all of this, this isn't about, like, you guys already had started on this before COVID happened. So along with a lot of other things that were happening, a lot of other trends, like some people starting to work remotely and more remote collaboration in general for workforces and things like that, those are just a couple of things that accelerated. They weren't introduced suddenly within the last 12 months. They were accelerated by that. And so that's part of where your optimism comes from, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just see the way that we've kind of optimized our workflow too, to be able to just crank away. And I mean, it's a different way of working now. I mean, we're sitting in front of a computer. It was kind of a learning curve that we had to quickly figure out. But now that we've figured it out and everyone's just jamming, it's really cool to see. And I just think that technology in general is just going to start progressing so fast because of this. But look, I'm still a huge advocate of physical events. And I hope that never dies. I mean, I really would like to see this ultimately as a complementary component for further outreach around a physical event, because there's nothing that beats, you know, human to human contact. Like that's how I've done business my whole life. I love it. I miss it. And I'm sure there's a ton of other people that feel the same way, right?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. One final question here. So what excites you most currently about the space? I mean, we talked about a lot of things that you're obviously passionate and excited about, but I'm just wondering what's one thing that just really you're just raring to go?
I mean, really what excites me the most about all of this, and I was having this conversation with one of our partners the other day, is that, you know, we've been working on all these things for so long. It's, you know, print ads, product animation, you know, stingers, 3D production, volumetric capture, like CGI environments. So those things we've worked on, we've done all this stuff and evolved in those different little silos. And then for the last 13 years, I've been working in physical events and, you know, just watching myself progress in that world and build bigger and better and bigger and better booths and events and things like that. And when I've seen the convergence and I've seen how we all got together and collaborated and made a pivot and now I'm watching all of these pieces of like everyone's life's work come together and create this whole new dynamic, this whole new paradigm, of digital experiences, that's really what excites me. It's not one specific thing. It's like that, wow,
the convergence.
Yeah, we took life's work, each person came together, and now we're all talking this big vision. I know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time, right? It's so now I get to watch this thing evolve over the next 25, 30 years while I'm working, and just become something massive. And we can't even predict how massive it will be in that time frame, right? Because you look at the internet from the late 80s all the way till now, look where we're at. So just imagine that 25, 30 year span in digital environment, CGI, and just like upgrades in avatars, and, you know, bringing in digital authentic goods and creating these micro economies inside of these worlds. It's going to be amazing.
You're in a unique spot, because it's not that you've just, you know, got you've progressively worked from one company to another in a similar space, but just as you were talking about, you happen to currently be playing a role in a handful of companies that are all converging into one space, which I think is really interesting about what you're doing. You've described, you know, how sort of this part of one place where you're participating on plugs into another that you are working on, and it's all complementary. And so that's a really, I can understand what you're talking about there. That sounds like a really awesome place to be.
Yeah, it's good. And I couldn't have asked for it to emerge that way, but somehow it did. And it's cool. I love it. I mean, I love working on it. But like I said, I miss the people. I miss going out and, you know, producing these live events with all the individuals that I've worked with for so many years. And I hope to get back to that soon. Like, that is a big piece for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And, you know, I'm super appreciative being able to talk with you about this. You and I reconnected after, you know, quite some time, and I was super excited when I was hearing what you were up to. I have a lot of, currently there's a lot of sort of trying to take what we do in the physical world and just sort of take the available tools and try to replicate that online. And I was really impressed and excited to hear the vision that you had and the work that you guys were doing. And I'm sure that there may be some other folks out there that are doing it, but it was one of the first times that I'd seen something that felt more unique, and then, you know, not so cutting edge that it kept it from being accessible. Okay. That's the nicest way of making sure we say it is definitely at the cutting edge, but not to the point where we're sitting here waiting to like jack into the Oasis in Ready Player One just yet. We've still got some time maybe before something like that happens, but for the time being, this is something that people can experience, and it isn't just, you know, having a bunch of speakers come up and talk on Zoom. There's so much more to it. Thanks again, Billy, for talking to me. How can people connect with you and learn more about what we've been discussing?
You can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just send me a message. I'm quick to respond on that. And then check out pinnacle-exp.com, and then just go check out our digital experiences. And there's a whole kind of list of information about what we can do and how we can help in the digital world. And then if you want to talk further about crypto or any of the NFT stuff, blockchain, yeah, just hit me up on LinkedIn and I will definitely respond, and we can open up a conversation around that.
Thanks again. I know we'll talk soon about some other stuff, being big fans of the cutting edge technology. I'm excited to talk to you again in the near future.
Yeah, cool. All right.
I love that you finished the episode. I super appreciate that you spent your time with us. You could have been in so many other places. Maybe you were avoiding those other places, and that's why you spent time with us. At any rate, I hope the time was well spent. And if you could do one thing for us, it would be incredible if you could subscribe to the podcast. And if you've already done that, first, I'd love to give you a hug when I see you next. And second, if you would then instead rate and review the podcast. It helps us get discovered. It helps others that are interested in the topics find us. And all the way around, it is super appreciated. If you'd like to connect with us for any reason, you'd like to connect with me directly and ask me some questions about marketing, or maybe suggest a topic for an episode that we should be talking about, go ahead and email me at Adam, A-D-A-M, at secretsushi.com, or just generally check us out at secretsushi.com to see what we're up to. All right, take care.